Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillikin. Let's get some Friday music now here on The Takeaway. Brad and Andrew Barr have been playing in front of different crowds for nearly two decades. For the last 6 years, the Barr brothers have been known as the Barr Brothers, and they recently came around to hang out with us in our studios. The Barr brothers are releasing their third album today. It's called Queens of the Breakers. Brad is the brother on guitar and vocals. Andrew's on drums, and they're joined by Sarah Paget, who plays harp. The band has played with My Morning Jacket, The War on Drugs, and lots of other bands as well. But the Barr Brothers' own sound doesn't fit most labels available in rock today.
It kind of can go any direction. Sometimes it's a very organic and grounded experience, and sometimes it's completely disorienting and swirling.
So floating journeys of effervescence that swirl around your head. Sounds like it could be a little hard to go from concept to recording. How do you do that? Do you improvise in the studio? Do you plan things out or just kind of let it swirl?
On this record, there was a lot of improvisation leading up to the completion of these tracks. These ones we approached a bit different, literally improvising for days on end at a little cabin in Quebec. That was it, really. We just wanted to see how everybody played together again after, you know, 7 or 8 years of playing together. It was kind of like, let's check back in with where we're at.
Well, the opening track on the new album is called Defibrillation. There's a story behind this track and how it came to be. Would you tell that?
That song began last Christmas.
Draw the line, draw it again, on the line to my closest friend.
And my poor mother fell and hit her head in the bathtub. I, you know, grabbed her, we went down to the hospital. We sat there for, it was like hours, you know, on Christmas Eve, and just kind of taking in the fluorescent lights, and I heard these two, the two rooms next to us had two different heart monitors that were beeping, and the drummer in me, of course, sat there just counting out the polyrhythm, and it was like a perfect loop, and I couldn't believe these monitors were so in sync, but just kind of out of sync. Everything was fine in the end, and when I got back to Montreal, I went to my studio. And the first thing I did was sat down at the drums and played that rhythm the best I could remember it, and recorded it and sent it off to Brad. And then I think I went outside, came back to the studio, and Brad had already sent back a song that he wrote based on that rhythm. It was really nice. It had all these little moments to bounce off rhythmically.
Heartbreaking, soul shaking, overwhelming, undertaking.
The idea of these monitors, these two people in separate rooms kind of connecting, you know, in that way.
I mean, do you rely on sounds, rhythms from your environment like that quite a bit? Do they come from the world around you more often than they come from just inside your head?
To me, on a really good day, I wake up and the sound of the street sweeping machine mixed with the birds and, you know, somebody doing their laundry outside does sound like music. It's like a way for me personally, I can kind of check in with myself. When the world does sound like music, I usually feel pretty good.
So when you guys are making your music, you're pretty well known for some of the non-traditional gadgety instruments you like to pick up. I saw one right. Thing where you're playing a bicycle wheel.
Yeah, we like to find new sounds.
We have here in the studio, see this turtle that we have? I think it's called traditionally a kalimba. They call it a sansa. I think there we have our drum, our toy drum that just kind of leave in the studio here in CR4 at the Takeaway. I wonder if you guys might be willing to pick these up and give us, 30 seconds of impromptu music.
I thought maybe you were baiting us with these things.
See, guys, this is great. We've had that kalimba here in the studio, that drum, for years. I mean, guests come through, ambassadors, senators, authors, it doesn't matter. This is the first time anyone's picked up those things to play with them where you can really nod your head to it.
What, you mean John Kerry couldn't keep a groove on this thing?
Not even close.
Picking up instruments that you don't really know what they're going to sound like, when they sound fresh, for me, that's almost easier sometimes than like being creative on the instrument that I've played for, 35 years.
Sarah Pege, when you were learning the harp, mm-hmm. I thought that maybe you expected to be in the local symphony or something and not necessarily a rock star, but now you're kind of a rock star.
I don't know about that, but yeah, I found that when I was in university with other young musicians, there was so much passion and enthusiasm for that music, for playing Mahler, for playing Beethoven. And when I got into a professional context, the work environment actually felt sterile. It felt like kind of showing up at work and plugging notes into the right place. So I didn't enjoy it. And I just found that a lot of my friends were making music that I found to be more curious and creative and exploratory. That was something that I really connected to with both Brad and Andrew right away, is that they both have a very open-minded musical spirit to the world around them. So that's something that I really admired.
Well, Brad, you have a track on the album called Compromat, which is a term that sort of entered into the American-Canadian lexicon in the last year. Compromat, is this a nod to politics? What was this?
It's something about the nature of the music. It was leaning towards what, Bob Dylan called finger pointing songs.
Look at the sun, go behind the hill, and look at the country through a dollar bill.
And the title Compromat, it sort of seemed like in the climate of consumerism today, nobody's hands are really clean. It's hard to live these days, consciously knowing that you could be, just through your consumerism, could be, hurting somebody far away, and you have to really, be aware of all this stuff. And I guess it was that notion that nobody is really totally innocent. Everybody's got compromising material working against them if you really examined it.
Whether it breaks, whether it bends, I don't know where I begin, but madness is the last time again.
I gotta get a question in for Jay, our director. He's a huge Slip fan, gigantic Slip fan, and he wanted to make sure that I asked you guys to talk for a second about how this band is different from that experience in Slip and what you learned, both positive and negative, about that on the road sort of jam band touring all the time experience.
Sarah?
Well, why are you laughing, Sarah? Did you not like being on the road all the time?
Those were tough years for me. I just felt I felt like my contribution to the Slip, I felt like I was the silent partner a lot of the time, and nobody.
You were not in the band.
Yeah. Sarah was not in the Slip.
Right. Okay, I just figured that out.
Well, the Slip was very much a learning experience, as is the Barr Brothers, but in a different way. I mean, we really came out of high school with the Slip just sort of really just shooting in every direction, trying to learn as much as we could about music and the dialogues that it inspires. And I guess with the Barr Brothers, we felt like a little more focused on a particular direction, like, and really honing in on this new discovery of the harp and the guitar and the drums together, and the language that they created. We kind of had a mission with the Barr Brothers, whereas the Slip, it was really just kind of all over the place, and we just threw ourselves on the road without any real notion of where it was going. Restrained ourselves a little bit more with the Barr Brothers, so that now we can really, really explore the possibility.
like trying to put a fire out. The matches ain't gasoline. We've been going around and around. Have you really been?
Brad Barr, Andrew Barr, and Sarah Paget are the Barr Brothers. Their new album is Queens of the Breakers. It's been great having you guys here.
Thank you, Todd.
Merci,
thanks.
Todd.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.